Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7. The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha. Text 46. Tvam
Tvam
Kura
Kura
Gam
Gam
Rasaya
Rasaya
Maha Sukara
Sukara
Damstraya
Damstraya
Padmini
Padmini
Varana Indra
Varana Indra
Yata Stuyamana
Stuyamana
Nadan
Nadan
Lilaya
Yogi
Bhi Vyujaharta Chai Gatra Yagya Kratu. Tampuragam Rasayama Sukaro Damstraya Padminim Varendro Yata
Damstraya Padminim Varendro
Yata Stuyamano Nadalilaya Yogibir
Stuyamano Nadalilaya Yogibir
Vyujaharta Trayagatra Yagya Kratu Tampuragam Rasayama Sukaro
Tampuragam Rasayama Sukaro
Damstraya Padmini Varendro Yata
Damstraya Padmini
Suyamano Nadalilaya Yogibir
Suyamano Nadalilaya Yogibir
Vyujaharta Trayagatra Yagyakratu
Vyujaharta Trayagatra
Tvampuragam Rasayama Sukaro Damstraya Padmini Varan Varanendro Yata
Damstraya Padmini Varanendro Yata
Stuyamano Nadalilaya Yogibir
Stuyamano Nadalilaya Yogibir
Vyujaharta Trayagatra Yagyakratu
Vyujaharta
Tampuragam Rasayama Sukaro
Tampuragam Rasayama Sukaro
Damstraya Padmini Varendro Yata
Damstraya Padmini Varendro Yata
Stuyamano Nadalilaya Yogibir
Stuyamano
Vyujaharta Trayagatra Yagyakratu Tvampuragam Rasayama or the form of the Lord in the temple, is understood to be studying all the Vedas 24 hours a day. Simply by decorating the deities of the Lord, Radha and Krishna, in the temple, one very minutely studies the injunctions of the Vedas. Even a neophyte devotee who simply engages in the worship of the deity is understood to be in direct touch with the purport of Vedic knowledge, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya. The purport of the Vedas is to understand him, Krishna. One who worships and serves Krishna directly has understood the truth of the Vedas. Translation again. Dear Lord, O personified Vedic knowledge, in the past millennium, long, long ago, when you appeared as the great born incarnation, you picked up the world from the water as an elephant picks up a lotus flower from a lake. When you vibrated transcendental sound in that gigantic form of a boar, the sound was accepted as a sacrificial hymn. And great sages like Sanatana meditated upon it and offered prayers for your glorification. In the previous verse, the Brahmanas glorified Lord Vishnu by saying that he is sacrifice personified, he is the offering of clarified butter, he is the fire, he is the chanting of Vedic hymns, he is the fuel, he is the flame, he is the kusha grass, and he is the sacrificial pot. He is the priests who perform the yajna. He is the demigods, headed by Indra, and he is the sacrificial animal. And Śrīla Prabhupāda explained that everything that exists is either the Lord or the Lord's energy. And because the Lord's energy and the Lord are one, therefore everything is the Lord. In the present verse, the Brahmanas are continuing in the same way to glorify the absolute nature of the Lord. And Śrīla Prabhupāda especially comments on the word Trayi Gatra, which means that the Lord is personified Vedic knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedya, that by the Vedas he is to be known. And therefore, the Lord is the purpose of the Vedas and he is the personification of the Vedas. This principle applies to the holy name of the Lord. The scriptures state that all mantras and Vedic hymns and performances are contained within the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the same applies to the form of the Lord. to the deity in the temple. And the same applies to any direct manifestation of the Lord. The Mahabharata says, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Ramani Vaishnavi Svalpa Punya Vatun Rajan Vishvasvanai Vajayate. That those with a poor fund of knowledge, or those with meager intelligence, cannot appreciate that Mahaprasad, Govinda, the holy name, the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas are all the same on the absolute platform. And as we discussed yesterday, the Sankirtan movement is Krishna. The Sankirtan movement, which spreads the holy name of Krishna, is giving people Krishna. The Sankirtan movement, which glorifies Krishna and distributes literature about Krishna, is giving people Krishna. The Sankirtan movement, which gives people the association of devotees, is giving people Krishna through the devotees. And the Sankirtan movement, which distributes Mahaprasad, is giving people Krishna in the form of Mahaprasad. Srila Prabhupada mentions the form of the Lord or the deity in the temple, that when people come to the temple, they see the Lord directly in the form of the deity, and he is the personification of Vedic knowledge. So even without studying the Vedas, they have come to the conclusion of the Vedas. And there is no lacking in them as long as they remain absorbed in the form of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, of course the scriptures do say that of all the nine processes of devotional service, the chanting of the holy name is the most important. And that if one chants the holy name without offense, one will achieve love for Krishna. On one morning walk on Juhu Beach, His Holiness Lokanath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, why have you prescribed 16 rounds for disciples? Srila Prabhupada said, I've not prescribed 16 rounds. Minimum 16 rounds. Lokanath Swami said, why have you prescribed minimum 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada said, if you can do 16,000, that is most welcome. You can increase. Yes, Lokanath Swami said, but some disciples, they have fixed another minimum, higher than 16. And Srila Prabhupada said that, yes, you can increase the minimum for yourself, but you cannot decrease the minimum. So there is a discussion about chanting the holy name, minimum 16 rounds, but as much as possible. One disciple asked, well, if we chant more rounds, how do we know if we're imitating Haridas Thakur? And Srila Prabhupada said, imitation is not bad. If you want to imitate Haridas Thakur by chanting more rounds, that is not bad. Then one disciple said, but what if there's service and you refuse to do the service because you're busy imitating Haridas Thakur? And Srila Prabhupada said, that is not good. You cannot refuse service. Oh, I'm busy imitating Haridas Thakur. I cannot do any service. And then another disciple asked about chanting being a higher service than other services, and Srila Prabhupada said no. All the services are the same on the absolute platform. But a special feature of chanting is that anyone can do it at any time, in any place, under any circumstances. It's not that chanting is higher than deity worship, but to do deity worship you require so many things. The deities, the paraphernalia, the ingredients, you have to know the procedures, to know the mantras. There are so many requirements. But chanting the holy name, you can do easily, anywhere, at any time, under any circumstance. Anyone can. There was another occasion when a young European joined our group very early in India, before we had any centers really. We were just traveling with Srila Prabhupada. And very few Westerners came to India then. It was very extraordinary. And the fact that he met us while we were traveling and staying with us was quite extraordinary. Well, he was quite humble. He would sit next to me during prasad, and he would say, Krishna is definitely God. Krishna is definitely God. Otherwise, how could such a fallen soul as me get such nice prasad every day? And that prasad was very simple. We were very poor, just like boiled rice and dal, maybe a few vegetables if we were lucky, or khichdi. So he stayed with us for some time. And at one stage, he asked Srila Prabhupada a question that if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada explained, but somehow the boy was fixed on this idea, if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And he gave the example that suppose it's late at night and somebody comes and he could become a life member. I could make him a life member. But I still have rounds to chant. So, you know, if all service is absolute, why couldn't I just make him a life member? Why would I have to finish my rounds? So, eventually, Srila Prabhupada asserted himself. He didn't often assert himself in that way, but he sat up very erect, and he said, "Why do you have to chant 16 rounds? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds." And then he said, "You're so worried about sleeping. You're so worried about eating and sleeping. You can eat and sleep all day long, but you must chant 16 rounds." In other words, don't think that your other service is so important. I don't mind if you don't do any other service, but you must chant 16 rounds. But then after Prabhupada said that, you can eat and sleep all day, but you must chant 16 rounds, he looked at the other devotees and said, "This is a special prerogative for him. It's not for you."
I've got my instructions for my day.
Then later, and it often happened that Srila Prabhupada would say something in a very conversational tone, and then later I would find a very deep scriptural explanation of what he had said. So later, while reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya quoted the verse that Satyatam, I'm not remembering, but one should always remember Vishnu and never forget him. And all the injunctions and prohibitions in the Vedas are servants of the one injunction to always remember Krishna, and the one prohibition, never to forget Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that we have many activities in the Krishna consciousness movement, and they are all related to Krishna. Devotees go out to sell books in relation to Krishna. Devotees enroll life members in relation to Krishna. And therefore, these are not ordinary activities. These are meant to facilitate remembrance of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada also said that if we want to be able to always remember Krishna and never forget him, we must chant our prescribed number of rounds every day. Then it will be possible to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote that of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's instruction to chant 16 rounds daily is most essential. And there were other times when devotees would miss the programs because they were doing service, and Srila Prabhupada was concerned that they should have a balanced program of attending the morning program, chanting their rounds, hearing the class, attending the arti, and doing service in the day, but then coming back and attending the evening program, hearing the evening class. And he said if they don't do that, even if they're shopping for the deities, like one case, one of the disciples missed the evening program because she was shopping for the deities, or even if they're out collecting donations, Srila Prabhupada said that they will become like karmis. Like karmis. And so they should be a balance, but they shouldn't neglect the morning or evening program, certainly not the 16 rounds. But at the same time, sometimes Srila Prabhupada gave us so much service that we hardly had time to do anything but attend the morning program and chant 16 rounds. Of course, this was in the early days, in the pioneer stage in India. And at one period, I didn't have time to read, and I was feeling guilty that I wasn't reading. So one evening, I went into Srila Prabhupada's room in Calcutta. I didn't say anything, but it was on my mind that I wasn't reading. I was like feeling guilty. I wasn't reading. And Srila Prabhupada himself suddenly quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. And he said that by reading the book Bhagavat, or serving the person Bhagavat, one gets the same result. He said, if one serves the person Bhagavat, even if he never reads the book Bhagavat, all of the truths of the book Bhagavat will be revealed in his heart. So this extends the conception of the absolute nature of the personality of Godhead. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that by serving the form of the Lord, by serving the deity in the temple, one is minutely studying the Vedas. He would directly understand the truth of the Vedas. And with reference to the other verse, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Srila Prabhupada was saying that by serving the Bhagavata, who is an extension of Krishna, in the same way all the truths of the Vedas will be revealed to him. So the service is absolute, but still within the realm of absolute service, there are priorities. But then again, there are emergencies. And when there are emergencies, one may have to set aside some of one's routine for the sake of the emergency service. But when the emergency service is over, one should return to one's routine. And one should, as far as possible, avoid such emergencies, but sometimes there are emergencies and then one may have to set aside one's reading, or even in some, I hate to say about the 16 rounds, but I guess it could happen. And then, of course, one should make up the rounds that one misses. When I had my open heart surgery, I could chant for a while, and then even when I could chant, Some rounds I couldn't chant. 16 rounds was just too hard. I was just too physically incapacitated. But I kept track. Ultimately, I came to be 63 days of rounds behind, like 63 times 16. Eventually, I made them up. We should keep track if we can. But that was an extraordinary circumstance. But yeah, it's all service. It's all service. Once His Holiness Bhaktisrupa Damodar Swami Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada that there's so many difficulties in the society, and you know, with all the difficulties, it really is hard to keep up one's enthusiasm and one's determination. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, how do you carry on? How do you keep up your determination with so many difficulties? And Srila Prabhupada replied, I don't see any difficulties. I only see service to my spiritual master. So if our mood is service, then there's no question of difficulties. It's all service, whether the circumstances are congenial to my sense gratification or not, is immaterial. It's just service. You know, if one has a very eager audience, that one has the opportunity to speak to them about Krishna, that service. But even if one has a hostile audience, it's still service. Of course, we don't knowingly approach people who will be hostile, but we don't know until we approach them what they'll be like. I remember when I would meet people in India, of course I hoped that they would be receptive, but once in a while I'd meet a Mayavadi, and a really stubborn Mayavadi. And preaching to them was very painful, because they would say so many things, but I didn't want to leave because I didn't want them to think, like they probably already did think, that we're like, you know, naive sentimentalists, that Prabhupada hasn't given us the real thing, and we don't know what the higher truth is, that, you know, Brahma Satya Jagannitya. So I didn't want them to think that we didn't have knowledge, that we couldn't answer their challenges, that Prabhupada wasn't really giving us, you know, the real thing. But still, it was very painful to have to argue with them. And I usually end up feeling pretty bad afterwards. But almost invariably, the next morning, I would get some reciprocation and feel very enlivened, like, you know, Prabhupada was pleased that I felt the Mayavadi, even though at the time it was unpleasant. And yeah, one My prophet said this. It's his only service to his spiritual master. Although sometimes Prabhupada would manifest a different side. When Srila Prabhupada was in Nairobi, he got a report from one of the tenants in Juhu that the storekeeper of the construction material was throwing construction material, steel and cement, over the wall into the neighbor's property, and he had an arrangement with the neighbor whereby he would get the material and, I guess, sell it in the market. In Nairobi, Srila Prabhupada knew that that was happening. In Juba, we didn't know what was happening. But in Nairobi, he knew what was happening. And he was so affected by it that he wasn't eating properly. And Brahmananda Prabhu was with him in Nairobi, said, Srila Prabhupada, I see that you're not eating properly. And Prabhupada said, how can I eat when my property is being stolen? My property means Krishna's property, of course. Then Prabhupada came back to Juhu, and he found that the storekeeper was the son-in-law. I think the storekeeper was the son-in-law of the site supervisor. And he thought that was a very unusual arrangement because there would be a conflict of interest. And then, so he started to suspect. It went even beyond the site engineer and the storekeeper. And then he said, oh yeah, so then I remember if it was after he called in Sourabh, who was the devotee in charge of the construction, whether it was just when he was speaking with me. But he said, I think in a slightly ironic way, but also in a serious way, he said, I came to Krishna consciousness to enjoy a life of bliss, and instead I have a life of anxiety. Of course, it was spiritual anxiety. And I think he was being... I never thought of it that way at the time, but now I'm thinking maybe he was speaking in an ironic way, thinking I might be thinking like that. But yeah, it's transcendental anxiety for Krishna. Different from material anxiety. Prabhupada gave the example that ordinary people are always worried about their money. You know, how are they going to get enough money? How are they going to keep their money safe? That's material anxiety. But then he says the temple president also worries about money. But for Krishna, how am I going to spend it? The best way for Krishna. That is transcendental anxiety. And once Prabhupada had a disciple named Sai before he joined. He's a very interesting person. He was in Hawaii. And he had gotten Srila Prabhupada's books and become a devotee. But he didn't have association with Prabhupada's disciples. But he became a devotee, and he was sort of a charismatic leader. He had his own community, and he started to teach his followers from Prabhupada's books. He got them to chant Hare Krishna on beads. They would do Harinam Sankirtan. They would even buy books and sell Prabhupada's books. They were doing what the devotees in his cult were doing. But he, I mean, from a certain point of view, his ideas were good. Especially in a place like Hawaii, where people tended to be laid back. So his idea was, you know, Krishna consciousness should be more mild, shouldn't be so intense. He had some good ideas. They had like aimed to have a self-sufficient farm community, and they would like do kirtan in the morning and evening. But in the end, yeah, so he eventually joined. He and all of his followers joined and took initiation from Srila Prabhupada. But he still didn't like the intensity in his kind. So one day he approached Srila Prabhupada and said, you know, one thing I really can't stand about your disciples is they're always in anxiety. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is their love. The gopis were also always in anxiety for Krishna. So, I guess we're back to the same point, that as long as Krishna is the center, it's all service and it's all absolute. And whether the service is pleasing to our senses or displeasing to our senses, it's sort of immaterial, it's external to the soul, but it's all service. And but still, within the category of service, within the absolute realm of service, certain items are more important. Srila Prabhupada has emphasized them. Not just emphasized them, but instructed us to adhere to them, to chanting 16 rounds, to attending Srimad Bhagavatam class, to worshipping the deity, offering our food to the deity, attending the arati, performing the arati, or attending the arati. But ultimately, service to the Guru is first, for the sake of service to the Guru, one can leave anything. If one is on that stage, one last little incident that comes to mind. At, I think it was like 5:30 in the morning. At that time, we didn't have a telephone. It wasn't easy to get telephones in India. Before we even got to India, Srila Prabhupada told us that it takes 10 years to get a telephone. Unless you know a minister or give someone a bribe. So we didn't have a telephone at that stage. And 5:30 in the morning, Actually, at that time, we weren't living on the Jubilee land because we didn't even really have a proper place where Srila Prabhupada, Mr. Sethi, P.L. Sethi, he had a very nice bungalow that he was constructing in the Jubilee, but it wasn't quite finished and he wasn't living there. So Srila Prabhupada and some of the disciples were living there. So 5:30 in the morning, Srila Prabhupada asked about Krishna Goswami what had happened the day before with the lawyer in relation to the struggle with Mr. Nair. And we hadn't gotten any report from the lawyer, who was a sort of devotee. He wasn't charging us for services. Mr. Asnani, Sushila Asnani. So Prabhupada told him, go out and phone. The sun hadn't even risen. He had to go out on the street to knock on people's doors to see if they would let him use their telephone. So some time passed, and Srila Prabhupada was really eager to know what happened. And maybe 20 minutes later, Tamal Krishna Goswami came back. And he was quite disturbed. He had phoned Asnani's number, and Mrs. Asnani had answered the phone. It was about 6 o'clock. And he said, I'm calling on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wants some information from Mr. Asnani. And she said, I will, please wait, I will inform him. So she came back and she told Tamal Krishna Goswami that Mr. Asnani is doing his puja. And he'll be finished in an hour, and you can call back in an hour. So Tamal Krishna Goswami related this to Srila Prabhupada. He was quite annoyed, and he said, here it is, a pure devotee is phoning him, and he's doing his puja. He can't respond to the phone call because he's doing his puja. And Srila Prabhupada replied that actually, for a neophyte, it's good to be regulated. But obviously, it's a higher level. The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam says that the worship of my devotee comes first. Prabhupada said you could be offering arti, but if a Vaishnava comes, you can interrupt the arti and receive the Vaishnava and then go back. So that's my bhakta puja vyada, puja vyadika. The worship of the devotee takes precedence. But that's a more advanced understanding. And Srila Prabhupada is appreciating that Mr. Asnani, the lawyer, wanted to be regular in his worship. So it's actually good for a neophyte to be regular. But of course, Prabhupada wanted us to function on a higher level, as preachers, as souls surrendered to the spiritual master. But that is the principle, that for the service of Guru you can set aside anything. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Seeking the Hiti Prabhu. Senior.
Debating whether to ask or not, but it seems like that's a nice group of the board, you know, we have to prepare to ask this question. You know, now we have President Luther to decide the time this time. And you have some of the disciples have their own societies. And then when there's a society, they have people that initiate the chant four rounds. Not 16 rounds. I just want to comment on that. I don't know what to tell people when I hear it. I just tell them, well, you know, if you want to talk about something, this is what we have to do. But, you know, if you want to begin trying to get mercy from somebody else, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I think what you say is good. It comes up. It is a reality. When I was in San Jose, a very intelligent lady from Moscow approached me with her husband, who is American. And she said that some followers of Bodayan Maharaj, who I believe is the successor of Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, they had approached her that Bodayan Maharaj was in town and was coming to town and they needed a place for him to stay, and they wanted to know if he could stay at their place, if they could have programs there for him. And she agreed. And then she said another time, she was on a flight, and she saw someone wearing saffron on the flight. She said, oh, wow. Vaishnava on this flight. So she approached him, and it turned out to be Narayan Maharaj. She didn't have any idea when she approached him. He was there, I guess, with some of his followers, and then they got very enlivened about her, and you know, asked if she could help them in Moscow. But at the same time, she was very, you know, her initial contact with Krishna consciousness was through ISKCON. She was very impressed with ISKCON in Moscow. You know, the way Krishna consciousness was presented and the caliber of people who were coming to the programs, like professionals, doctors, lawyers, engineers, was very impressed. And she just wasn't sure what to do. She wasn't sure how to proceed. So I said that, you know, they're all Vaishnavas, and we respect all Vaishnavas, we appreciate all Vaishnavas. But the real question is, how important to you is your relationship with Srila Prabhupada? That's the real question. Because in ISKCON, Krishna consciousness will be presented the way Srila Prabhupada presented it. Devotees will follow the way Srila Prabhupada taught us to follow. And you'll always hear talk about Srila Prabhupada. Always hear a discussion of his instructions and glorification of his qualities and activities. And you won't find that in other places. His Holiness Dharmajan Swami told me that he was in maybe Moscow on Tamal Krishna Goswami's disappearance day. And some of Prabhupada's disciples who were with Narayan Maharaj wanted to observe it with the ISKCON devotees. And they wanted to speak. So they spoke. Oh, I don't know how many. One after the other they spoke. And they all said only one thing about Tamal Krishna Goswami. That it's because of him that Narayan Maharaj has become prominent in the world. And Narayan Swami said, you know, here's someone who did such incredible service for Srila Prabhupada in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, in establishing ISKCON and expanding the Krishna consciousness movement. And all they have to say about him is that he made Narayan Maharaj prominent. So he was making the point to me, and I made the same point to the lady, that although they profess to follow Srila Prabhupada, but you're not going to hear the same talk about Srila Prabhupada there as you will in ISKCON. You know? And Prabhupada includes his followers. The only thing you're going to hear about Tamal Krishna Goswami is that because of him, Narayan Maharaj became famous. So you're going to get a very different kind of association. You're going to hear a very different kind of katha. So it really depends on how important your relationship with Srila Prabhupada is to you. And then I said, you know, I'm not saying that these Vaishnavas can't take you back to Godhead. They may very well be able to take you back to Godhead. But if you do go back to Godhead, you're not going to be with Srila Prabhupada and his followers. You're going to be with them and their followers. And then I said that personally, I have, you know, I just have more faith in Srila Prabhupada. I just have more faith that if someone follows Srila Prabhupada's instructions, they'll go back to Godhead. You know, by following the teachings of these other Vaishnavas, one may go back to Godhead. But I don't have the same confidence that they will that I do if someone follows Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And I said, you know, I'm not saying that what I'm saying is absolutely true. I'm just saying that that's where my faith lies. And, you know, I said, frankly speaking, I would feel that your spiritual life would be more secure if you stayed with Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON. But that's just my faith. You have to see where your faith lies. And then I said, you know, I may like it or not, You know, you may like it or not. But if you associate intimately with leaders and members of the Gaudiya Mutt, it's going to affect your relationship with ISKCON. You know, we might think it should be that way or should not be that way, but that is the way it is. So if you're going to, you know, entertain Bodhaya Maharaj at your place and have programs for him, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. But the reality is, it's going to affect your relationship with ISKCON. It's going to affect the way devotees in ISKCON see you and welcome you, or don't welcome you. And so it's really up to you to assess all these different factors. And depending on how important your relationship with Prabhupada is to you and how important your relationship with ISKCON is, you can decide what to do. And I think she was very satisfied with the answer. It wasn't offensive, it wasn't sectarian. It was balanced. But at the same time, I was true to myself. I wasn't hiding anything about where my faith lied or what my convictions were. I didn't present it in a fanatical way or in a critical way towards others. You should appreciate it. There was another point I made is that Srila Prabhupada put a lot of time and energy and effort into ISKCON to create a very strong structure to perpetuate his teachings and to engage people. And yeah, ISKCON has had its ups and downs, but it's weathered the storms and it's still going on. We, you know, these other preachers haven't put the same amount of time and energy and effort into creating an infrastructure. And we don't really know what it's going to be like after they leave. I mean, even now, you know, they don't have the same type of infrastructure that ISKCON has to engage people. I said the same thing, you know, but if you feel that your faith lies, you know, you ultimately feel more inspired by one of them and you feel that your relationship with them will be enough to carry you back to Godhead, then, you know, that's, we wish you the best. But it's really hard to progress on your own. And you really need the support of other devotees and you need the opportunity for service. And in ISKCON, practically anywhere in the world you go, there you'll get the association of devotees and the opportunity for service. And it might not be so, or it might not be true to the same extent. But it's just, you know, it's up to you. It really depends on what you want and what you feel you need. What you feel will help you most. There was one incident, I don't know if I mentioned it to her, but 1 year during Purushottama Mass, you know, that the leap month every 3 years. It's considered like a very sacred month. They say it's three times more powerful than Kartik. So anyway, 1 year, one of the prominent sannyasi preachers in the Gaudiya monks. Not Prabhupada's disciple. He went to Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, to spend the month of Purushottam. And Satsarupa Maharaj also went to Puri with the idea that he would get some association with this Gaudiya Vaishnava. But when he was there, he found that the Gaudiya Vaishnava was speaking mainly in Hindi, and just wasn't, he knew that Satsarupa Maharaj came to be with him, they just didn't really pay so much attention to him. And Satsarupa Maharaj thought that, like, you know, Prabhupada created ISKCON to be my home. You know, ISKCON is my home. This is not my home. I don't feel at home here. And then he had that thought that if he follows Srila Prabhupada, he's confident of what Prabhupada's position is in relation to Krishna and what Prabhupada's position is in relation to him. Satsarupa Maharaj. And the other preacher, he wasn't so sure. Just wasn't really sure what is that person's position in relation to Krishna. And what is that person's position in relation to him? Satsarupa Maharaj. And he felt, why should I gamble? You know, why should I take a risk? I'm sure about Srila Prabhupada. And he imagined that if he went to, came to the precincts of Goloka Vrindavan and the gatekeeper said, who are you? And if he said, you know, I am, you know, Satsarupa, the disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So you imagine that if the gatekeeper said, all right, just wait, so I will inform him. He felt confident, you know, that on being informed that Prabhupada would say, Satsarupa, my Satsarupa, call him immediately. And he just had that confidence in Prabhupada. He just wasn't that sure about the other person. So
in Gaudiya Mathas now, many Swamis are going there, and they may have a numerical strength more than me. If it happened that way, he said, in the future, still he said, I would stay here and be sure that when I go back, I know that I'll be with Prabhupada.
Yeah, same idea. Yeah. Did everyone hear that? Maybe I'll repeat it. He said that one year Tamal Krishna Goswami had, on his Christmas holidays from his studies, he went to Govardhan, and he said that there are many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are following other sannyasis in the Gaudiya Mutt. And they may be strong in numbers, but Tamal Krishna Goswami said still he wouldn't, you know, leave Prabhupada and ISKCON to join them, because when he goes back to Godhead, he wants to be with Srila Prabhupada. He knows if he stays with Prabhupada and ISKCON, that will be his destination. Any other questions or comments?
Well, just to explore this idea a little more, No argument presented then how, of course, Bhaktivedanta's period, they're chained. Well, he's emphasizing 64 rounds. That's a period of time anymore.
Yeah, about the number of rounds required. That is a good question. And 1 year in Vrindavan to Mount Krishna Goswami and Burijan Prabhu and I went to visit Tripurari Swami and Jagat Guru Swami, who had had quite a bit of association with Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. And we asked them, because we were hearing different things, like on the one hand we're hearing 64 rounds, and then on the other hand we're hearing 4 rounds. They said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had 3 different standards. That if someone had very little service to do, he would chant 64 rounds. Or, in other terms, his service was to chant 64 rounds. If someone had a moderate amount of service, he would chant 16 rounds. And if someone had a lot of service, he would chant 4 rounds. Srila Prabhupada himself, as a grihastha, would chant 16 rounds. He said that he would chant 4 rounds before breakfast, 4 rounds before lunch, 4 rounds before dinner, and 4 rounds before sleep. And that way he would be sure to complete his 16 rounds, because he didn't finish his 4 rounds before the meal, he couldn't eat. So, I mean, obviously, if Srila Prabhupada had had 3 different standards, it would have created chaos. It would have created chaos. And everyone would have said, I'm really busy. I'm the 4 round category. So, I think 16 rounds is mummified. 16 rounds is mummified. Yeah. Radha Krishna Prabhu quotes Tamal Krishna Goswami in relation to a prominent leader in ISKCON who fell down, that he wasn't chanting his rounds. He was more absorbed in his service and management. He didn't chant his rounds and he fell down. Prabhupada actually said that about another prominent manager. He predicted that after he leaves, Prabhupada predicted that after he leaves, the devotee will fall down. You know why? Now, how can you say that? He said, because he's not chanting his rounds. Yes?
Wanted to add another little story about the design for Krishna.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you've probably heard of maybe others about the Shloka and Vishwakarma when they bought the property in Toronto that we have now. And so, of course, Prabhupada was living in Toronto at that time, and there were different ways, and somehow or another, of course, that became available, and they approached Prabhupada about getting in with a large sum of money, especially in those days. And Prabhupada told them, no, you shouldn't be in so much anxiety for things like that. You know, better we just work with it, what we can do. And so, you know, don't get in anxiety about this. So the next day, Prabhupada calls him in the room and asks about the property. He said, well, you know, he said we shouldn't get invited, so he just let it go. Mr. Prabhupada pulls up and, you must be anxiety for Krishna. What is this? He said, poverty immediately. So one day,
yeah.
I guess you see that quite a bit too, probably. One day, next day is this.
Yeah.
Or maybe the next hour. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess pure devotee Krishna is motivated.
That's true. That's true. Once or twice, Prabhupada asked me to speak in front of him to an audience. In those cases, I was a little nervous. I wasn't nervous when to speak in front of people, but to speak in front of Prabhupada, I was nervous in those cases. I must admit, yes, I was nervous in those cases.
Were you with him when he was in South Africa, Prabhupada, or?
No, I was in India.
So I heard that the Lord Prabhupada really with some professors, and he's really getting into the guy that my body is challenging Prabhupada, making a point about, you know, they know Sanyasa, they he says, this is not religion, this is science. And the guy's still challenging, you know, this Hindu belief. So Prabhupada says, so I don't know who it is, you explain it to him. I think and the Lord spoke so nice, it was almost like he empowered him. Just, I said, is that what Prabhupada would say? He said it. And I think it really, what can you say? He's a big professor, here's this Westerner, just explaining the whole thing to him. So, I don't know, I don't know what shows up right there. So, I always wonder, I don't know who that was.
It might have been Krishna Krishna.
Probably.
It might have been Krishna Krishna. Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. They say if you want to get something done, ask a busy person to do it. Yeah. That person is alert and vigilant, active. Yeah. Prabhupada did write that in his famous letter to Karandar Prabhu that Krishna consciousness should always be a fresh challenge to rise to, and that in that atmosphere of challenge one will naturally be enthusiastic to chant his rounds and follow the regulative principles because it will be part of his occupational duty, which he has to do to rise to meet the challenge. I just thought of two little incidents from New Vrindavan. Just on this, the absolute nature of devotional service and serving the book Bhagavad and the person Bhagavad. This is in the earlier days of New Vrindavan. One disciple complained to Srila Prabhupada that he was trying to study Srimad Bhagavatam, but there was too much sound from the construction, devotees hammering, and he couldn't read Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, that's the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotional service. And the other time, and you know, this might not, Prabhupada might not have said the same thing to someone else, but this one disciple was like, he didn't have much engagement, he was just chanting all day long, pretty much. But he was thinking, you know, and because there wasn't service for him, he was thinking, you know, he could, maybe like get a job and bring in some income for the temple. But he wasn't sure what would please Krishna more. So Prabhupada said, well, what would you prefer? if someone chanted your name all day or gave you $10,000. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Or Bhaktivedanta.